This month marks the centennial of our national park system. So today on the show, we're celebrating. And parks are a big part of life here in the Bay Area, from the Point Reyes National Seashore to the Port Chicago Naval Magazine in Concord, Alcatraz, Fort Point, the Presidio, Muir Woods. There's a wealth of natural beauty and heritage, but for some reason, not everyone is benefiting. Last month, New America Media commissioned a nationwide survey of 900 African-American, Asian, and Hispanic voters. It asked them how often they visit our national public lands. Turns out, nearly half had never been to a national park. Reporter Todd Whitney decided to take a closer look at the perception that Black folks like him aren't really into nature.
Dad, there's a mountain of statistics that say Black Americans don't go out in nature as much as other ethnicities.
I mean, it's something that I can believe, because I kind of live it, and I fit into the statistic. I'm Black, and I kind of like nature, but I don't really mess with it in a traditional sense. And I know I'm not alone in that.
I'm here in Joaquin Miller Park in Oakland, California, with Rue Mapp, the founder and CEO of Outdoor Afro.
Outdoor Afro is an online and in-person social and nature network. And it's our goal to celebrate and inspire African American connections to nature.
I took a hike with Rue and other hikers on a Sunday morning, and I asked them about what they think of Black folks and nature not mingling much.
I think a lot of times, a lot of Black people, like for me, we're originally from Chicago and we lived in a very concentrated area, cement city really. So in the city, we just knew city life and city stuff, but we didn't know like outdoorsy stuff. But once you move away from the environment, then you can do outdoorsy stuff.
That's Kush Anderson. She and her son Jermaine traveled from Sacramento to participate in today's hike. Then there was Krishna Jude Moore. So I asked Jude Moore if he was familiar with any Black American contributions to the environmental movement.
It was a Black man who came up with peanut butter, and everybody I know who goes camping, I mean, you got to have peanut butter.
Moore's talking about George Washington Carver, and he's not just the inventor of peanut butter, but he's one of the most prominent agriculturalists and inventors of the 1800s. These contributions that we tend to forget about are what Rue Mapp thinks is part of a rich history of outdoor exploration and environmentalism that Black Americans have been part of. Our group leader, Rue Mapp, breaks it down for us.
Much of our history there, and so that one of the things that Outdoor Afro aims to do is to break open not only the natural history of a place, but the human history of a place. And in that way, we're able to help people feel a deeper sense of connection, purpose, as well as a sense of ownership. Like, this is mine. You know, these are where my people dwelt.
History's a big part of these walks for Rue Mapp. She told me about the Buffalo Soldiers. The Buffalo Soldiers, they were an all-Black military unit that later became some of America's first park rangers. But the Black tradition of outdoor contributions goes beyond the Buffalo Soldiers. There's also individuals like John Francis. He's a Black man who grew up in Marin County, and he walked across America to promote environmentalism back in the 70s. To learn more about some of these Black environmentalists, I met up with Carolyn Finney. She's the author of Black Faces, White Spaces. And she's a professor of environmental policy and management at UC Berkeley.
In terms of the majority culture, historically in the United States, setting a narrative and a tone about the environment and the way we should think about it and relate to it, we Black and brown folks have largely been left out of that mainstream conversation.
So Finney says being left out takes a couple different forms. One of those is representation in environmental and government organizations, where people of color represent somewhere between 12% and 16%, while we make up nearly 40% of the U.S. population. Then there's the media's representation of Black folks in nature. Dr. Finney looked into this. She picked up a decade's worth of issues of Outside Magazine. That's one of the most popular outdoor enthusiast magazines around. In it, of the 4,600 photos that had people in them, just over 100 featured Black Americans. And those are mostly famous male athletes. Doing my own little experiment, I checked out the latest edition of Outside Magazine.
Nah. Hey, there's a familiar face. There's a brother right there. There's one. Nah.
In the latest edition of Outside, out of the 87 photos that have people in them, only 8 feature Black Americans. But representation isn't just about jobs and the images in magazines. It's about the larger narrative we create about the environment and the outdoors. Black people do get outside, just not in the traditional ways that we tend to think about the outdoors. Some people get their outdoor activities by hitting a hiking trail, while others might just kick it over to Lake Merritt for a barbecue. It all doesn't have to look the same. Again, here's Rue Mapp from Outdoor Afro.
People tell me all the time, well, black people don't have a relationship with wild spaces. But when I start talking about fishing, for instance, ears perk up and the stories unfold.
Some of those stories are part of a history when coming together in public spaces wasn't always safe for black folks. And that legacy of not having safety in numbers has led to a particular way of thinking about nature. When the Outdoor Foundation surveyed Americans and asked why they don't take advantage of nature, more than a third of black Americans said they're just not interested.
Nature has a PR problem. For generations, people have worked really hard on farms. The idea of going out and sleeping on the ground is not appealing. It doesn't signal progress to some people. I've actually have heard some people say, why are you going to play homeless?
Well, in my experience on the hike, with the birds, the smells, the views, the tranquility, it felt really good to be outdoors. I might even start to switch my walks around Lake Merritt in Oakland for more hikes in the hills. In Oakland, I'm Todd Whitney for Cross Currents.
That story first aired in 2014. Well, last week, our friends at New America Media hosted a panel to discuss how to increase those low numbers of people of color visiting national public lands. On that panel was Rue Mapp, founder of Outdoor Afro. We just heard from her in that last story.
In our country, we are experiencing rapid demographic change. By 2043, we will have a majority in this country who are people of color. So it is imperative that people of diverse backgrounds see themselves as represented and engaged in our parks and public lands, not only for their own individual and community health and well-being, but also to ensure that those places that we hold dear, those parks and public lands that we expect to be around forever, actually have stewards.
Kay Wang, who works with the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, said for some communities, there's also an issue of trust.
They look at us coming in a uniform. There's a fear, there's a gap, especially when we go into the Lapino community. We actually, the outfit, the color, almost look like people from the immigration office. So there's a really strange but very real barrier we need to break, right?
Researcher Anthony Williams was also there. He said, sure, it's important to try to staff parks with more people of color, but we also need to create programs that appeal to broader audiences. Then the work of reaching out can come from a real place.
That outreach is critical because you have people who I think are predisposed to have an interest in outdoor activities that don't have information, don't have any family history of going to national public lands. They need to be touched the first time.
So a number of organizations joined this movement and formed the Next 100 Coalition. They want to help design a more inclusive approach so that over the next 100 years, the Park Service is more reflective of all people in the country. There's more information about the Next 100 at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents.